Hello, Facebook Live. If people are there, please give me a sign. Let me know that you can hear me, you can see me. I'm about to launch into today's version of happiness engineering, staying sane in trying times. So sometimes I'll be looking at this camera, sometimes I'm looking at this camera. It's like I have people in front of me or something. So this is fantastic. Welcome, and please let me know. Hello. I see you there. I think that's Dusika. Welcome, everybody. How do I make it admit all? Play entry. No, do not put people on waiting room under me. Let everybody in. There you go. There are settings for things. Welcome. Welcome. And if you can hear me, please let me know. Just so give me a wave or put a little something. And mention where you are logging in from. City, country, what time it is over there. And I am in not so sunny Los Angeles, California, Santa Monica specifically. It's pleasantly rainy outside. We're gonna have a bumper crop of asphalt this year. It's gonna be amazing. Let's see, where are people typing in from? How are you all doing? And you know, this is a time in our lives where the question, how are you doing, is no longer just a formal sound. It actually means something. When I ask you how you're doing, I'm asking, A, are you alive? B, are you asymptomatic? Three, you know, are you not hospitalized and stuff? And are you breathing well? So it's gotten pretty serious here. And I don't know about you, but eight of my friends have gotten COVID-19, and luckily so far they've done okay, no casualties, but a friend's best friend passed away, and another friend, his mom is in the ICU, and his brother and his sister are also afflicted. So this is pretty heavy stuff. So if you are experiencing some challenging emotions, then know that you are not alone. You can close your eyes and imagine that every person who is experiencing distress on the planet is a point of light. If you close your eyes and watch the planet turning, you'll see that there are thousands upon millions of point of light, with thousands, hundreds of thousands now afflicted. That means millions of people who are connected to these people have felt that. And even if you haven't been afflicted at all, and you don't have any loved ones who have experienced the sequelae of being infected by the virus, it's still possible to have feelings of heaviness and loneliness if you can't leave home, if you can't get a hold of your friends. I am having a hell of a time getting a hold of my friends on the phone. It's kind of amazing. It's like, wait, why would I be calling you? I'm either calling to find out, A, are you alive, or B, telling you that I'm alive and I need help. So what reason do you have to not pick up or not call back? So there's been a cultural shift, and the phone has become less of a medium of communication that people rely upon. So maybe we can make a change in that, because if you don't do that, what are you going to do? So, all right, today's agenda, let me make sure everybody's in. Okay, good, we have people here. We have people, hello, Facebook people. Thanks for dropping in. So today I'm going to do a 15-minute meditation to begin. And then after that, I'll do a 30-minute lecture, basically sharing with you some techniques that can radically change the way you run your brain and the way you feel. And afterwards, I will do some question and answers on what's on your mind and what specifically you would like to work on. So let's begin with a little hum saw meditation. So if you've been to the prior sessions, this will sound familiar. If not, then this will be brand new. And this is the meditation I've been using most of the time for the past 15 years that I've been a regular meditator. So take a deep breath when you're ready and close your eyes. And make sure you have your phone off. There are no distractions, no interruptions. Allow yourself to really focus on the sound of my voice as we begin this meditation. And this is a meditation derived from many different traditions. It's been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years. It's called the Hum Sa meditation, or the Hung Sa meditation in other traditions. And The way it works is really simple. With your eyes closed, you do three different things. First off, you pay attention to the sensation of air entering your nose. So you breathe in. Oh, look, the feeling of air coming in through my nostrils. And as you exhale, the feeling of air coming out of your nostrils. That alone is enough to calm you down and put you in a meditative state. But wait, there's more. To that, we're going to add a little mantra, a little sound you're going to make on the inside, not out loud, on the inside. As you inhale, you are going to say hum. As you exhale, you're going to say sa. So pay attention to the feeling of the breath, hum. Pay attention to the feeling of the breath, sa. As you do that, the third thing you do is you turn your eyes up and you look at the back of your forehead. You look at the space in between your eyebrows. In some traditions, that's called the third eye center. You look up there and that will shift the way your head feels. And you will do these three things together now. Breathe in, say hum, while paying attention to the sensation of breath coming up your nose. And breathe in, say sa, paying attention to the sensation of breath coming out your nose. All the while, your eyes are flipped up, looking at the back of your forehead, the space between your eyebrows. We start 13 minutes, starting now. Begin. And I will be giving periodic instructions to those who are just entering. Hum sa meditation. Say hum on the inhale. Sa on the exhale. And take your eyes up to the back of your forehead. Look up at the space between your eyebrows. Focus on that space as you breathe in. It's best to keep your back straight. The straighter you keep it, the better energy flows in your body. Breathe in. Breathe out. So, with your eyes up. Allow the natural flow of in-breath and out-breath. When you do that, you may feel a natural pause at the end of your exhale. As you allow yourself to reside in the peace. The true silence you are creating. Hum as you breathe in. Sa as you breathe out. With your eyes looking up. And as you continue to do this, you may notice that some thoughts still flit through your mind. And that's totally okay. That's what the mind does. So welcome them, say hi to them, and let them go. Meditation is not the practice of obliterating thoughts. Meditation is the practice of letting thoughts go. And the way you let them go is to simply come back to center. The three practices: looking up, paying attention to the breath, and saying hum as you inhale, and silently saying saw as you exhale. If you do those three things simultaneously, you will notice that your mind becomes clear and expansive, quiet and peaceful. Notice what happens as you allow your body to let go of tension with each exhalation. Breathe in hum. Breathe out song. Notice how the thoughts come and go on the movie screen of your mind. And the thoughts come and they leave, and the movie screen stays clean. The movie screen does not change. The movie screen is your consciousness. And no matter what movie they're projecting, your consciousness remains clear and expansive. And as you say, hum on the inside while breathing in, and saw as you exhale, and look up at the space between your eyebrows. As you do those three things, you allow the clarity of your mind, the expansiveness of your mind, the essential emptiness of your consciousness to be felt. You can experience that expansiveness now. Thank the thoughts, thank the feelings, let them go, allow them to pass. All emotions are temporary, all thoughts are temporary. As you allow the vastness and clarity of your consciousness to come to the fore, allow yourself to sink into yourself. If that instruction makes no sense, it's even better. Allow yourself to let go of all thoughts and all the emotions. And just sink fully into the presence, the now. And as we come close to the end of this meditation, with your eyes closed, imagine that you're 100 miles above the earth, looking at it spinning, or maybe you're looking at a map of Google Earth. You can see the world spinning. You can see little lights Everywhere, somewhere is meditating. Meditating for the peace of themselves. Meditating for the peace of the planet. Meditating for healing. You can see that there are thousands upon thousands of points of light as the world is turning, along with all the people who are on this seminar, on this Facebook Live, on this Zoom chat, and all over the world. Feel the solidarity. Feel the togetherness. We are all in this together. And by combining the force of our meditation, of our presence, the clarity of our consciousness, we can lift all sentient beings together. So take a deep breath and gradually allow your eyes to open. Welcome back. How you feeling? Feeling pretty good? Right. Good to see you people. Hello. Waving to everybody. So this little meditation that we did, what happened here? What happened was, oh wow, I get a really funky pattern from my shirt here. How interesting. So what you just did was you created a little oasis of peace inside your own mind. And while that was happening, everything that was happening outside the world was still going on, whether it was war, famine, or disease, it didn't stop. But what you did was you took control of your consciousness. You took control of how you want to run your mind. So when I was a kid, I was very sensitive. And basically, the slightest provocation in the playground got me crying. And I'd, you know, go back to my mom and say, "Mom, kids were mean to me." And it was a little embarrassing because I was a boy and boys don't do that. But boys do that. And basically, up to age like six, boys and girls are about the same sensitivity. Boys may even be more sensitive. And then something gets drilled in their heads that says, hey, you're supposed to be tough. Boys don't cry, right? It's not girls don't cry, it's boys don't cry. And so I thought, aha, I know, I'm tough. I'm not going to show emotion anymore because that would be weakness. Then the bullies will pick on me. They'll make my life miserable. And that is just not okay. And as a result, I learned that I would hide my emotions and not feel them. But what this does, it actually makes the emotions much harder to manage because now you're bottling them down. So it makes them harder to identify because it's through embodied cognition, through feeling emotions through our body, that we actually know what we're feeling. Some people even say that, you know, emotions are manufactured movement, emotion. E is out, motion is movement. And if you stop that movement, then you have no connection to the emotion. So what we're doing here is we're allowing you to feel the emotions. We're allowing you to feel the thoughts, but we're also giving you a way to find a little center, a little oasis in the middle, such that you can feel and be independently of circumstance. It turns out that those kids did not have a direct pipeline into the back of my head to make me feel a certain way, except for maybe when they actually bashed me in the back of my head. I felt that. But other than that, you know, maybe it's words, maybe it's attitudes, it's something. But at a certain point in our lives, we made a contract with the world that whatever you do to me, the world, then I'm going to feel that. I'm going to choose to take offense. I'm going to choose to become sad. I'm going to choose to become mad. But in this meditation that we did, in all meditations that you do, you learn to train yourself to have an alternative. And that alternative is to feel independently of circumstance and to think independently of circumstance. So what we're doing here today is really a personal training session. I'm going to be spending about an hour with you to train your brain such that you have a stronger mind that you can direct where you want it to go, as opposed to having it be flopping around at the mercy of the world. So that is what meditation is all about. And how many of you, by show of hands or by a little question, how many of you already have a regular meditation practice? If you do, that is fantastic. All right, good. I see you there. Fantastic. So yeah, this is powerful stuff. And the more you do it, the more it permeates your entire existence. So we're going to begin each of these sessions with a 15-minute meditation henceforth. So if you already do that, or you'd rather start with a talk, then you know when to show up. You can show up 15 or 20 minutes into it, and I'll be getting into the talk. Otherwise, this is a great way to augment your meditation practice if you already have one. I do 30 minutes in the morning, and now I do this too with you. And it's better with people. This is the Sangha. This is the group. It's the gathering. This is the community, the beloved community. So it adds to the power. So let us continue now with today's lecture. So I have a bunch of stuff prepared for you. At the same time, I want this to be an opportunity for you to tell me what's on your mind so I can serve you better. I can also create other stuff for you. But if you'd be willing to share the kind of challenges you're experiencing right now, the stuff that you're trying to deal with right now, that would be fantastic. So you can send me a private message here, you can send a public message, however you wish. I have an idea for what it's like because I'm in it with you. So loneliness, isolation, frustration, anger, fear, all these fun little emotions, we're all feeling them all the time. So I get it. I hear you. In the meantime, maybe you have something particular that I can address. And I'll also be doing techniques which you can apply specifically to whatever it is that you're experiencing. So what are you guys experiencing? Let's see. Chat. What is happening? What is happening? So today I have a very powerful tool that I'm going to introduce you to. You may have already heard of this, and if you have not, boy, do I have a treat for you. This is called Byron Katie's The Work, and it is simplicity itself. It's basically four questions with a bonus question, and you ask yourself these questions, and you answer them truthfully, and then you notice how things shift inside your body and your mind, because they will. And the first time I experienced the work, you know, there was this thing that was really bugging me, and in a matter of about, I don't know, 5 minutes, it wasn't bugging me as much, and that's pretty quick. So I encourage you to come and experience the work with me. So here's Katie, or she calls herself Katie. So this is Katie's little booklet, The Work, right here. And she speaks often at Wisdom 2.0 and other conferences, and she has a lot of her own stuff online too. And let me step you through it. So let's take a particular challenge you're having today. And this is particularly useful for really challenging experiences or really challenging relationships. So let's say you're stuck with someone who is a colossal pain in the butt. Or let's say you have a boss you don't like. Or let's say you have this truly traumatic experience that you're still kind of feeling the sting of. Okay? So do we have an example? Do we have something that is bugging you in particular that I can use an example? If not, I'll just use something of my own. Yes, right here, we have a hand going up with Dusika, lower hand, unmute. Yes, what do we got?
Today, my friend called me on a Viber, and it's my dear friend from Europe, and every time when she calls me these days, she's talking how she can't deal with a divorce with her husband, who was 30 years her husband. And I really like her a lot, but this talks about her pain and suffer really makes me dimmed my personal satisfaction. And I don't know how to help her. So
okay.
I don't know what to tell her, what to do.
Okay, so if you were to summarize that into one sentence, it would be something like your friend brings you down. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Friend brings you down and makes you feel impotent and helpless, maybe. No.
Yeah, and I can't help her. I mean, she has to go through that on her own and learn things.
Good. And just, is your name Dusika or Dusitsa?
Dusitsa.
Dusitsa. Okay, Dusitsa. There you go, Dusitsa. So, great. Okay, so Dusitsa has a friend who brings her down. Does anybody else have one of those? Oh yeah, I think we have at least one of those. And then you want to be close to that friend because, hey, it's your best bud. But at the same time, my God, it brings your energy down. So what do you do about that? Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing. So let's use that as an example. And I'm going to keep you unmuted because I'm going to ask you the questions and we're going to step through it. So the four questions go something like this. The first one is it true? So the question for you is, Dushitsa, is it true that your friend brings you down?
It is.
Okay, so it feels about right. Okay, good. Now, the second question is interesting because it looks a lot like the first question, but it's actually different. The second question is, are you absolutely positive it's true that your friend brings you down? Can you know it is the absolute truth? And the answer, and that means, is there any other kind of explanation maybe that, you know, because then it wouldn't be absolutely true, right? So is it 100% true?
Not 100%.
Okay, good. So I will give you the words that that Katie has here for what the, so she says, you know, do you know it's true, right? And great. So we've already loosened the hold of this a little bit, right? So we went from, okay, this is true, this is happening, to, okay, it's a, but I'm not really sure, because the world does not have a Ethernet wire that plugs in the back of your head and makes you feel stuff, right? So is she bringing you down? Well, suddenly it's not entirely clear if that's the case, right? So from there, we go to question number three. And question number three is, how does having this thought make you feel? So close your eyes and have the thought and notice what happens to your body mind as you think, my friend, negative energy brings me down, makes me feel helpless because I can't help her. So how does that make you feel, Dushitsa?
It makes me dimmed. I can't shine. I can't sing. I can't smile. It makes me unpleasant.
Great. Okay, so we've got dimmed, we've got diminishes your shine, unpleasant. Doesn't feel so great, right? So you put some words to it and that's great. So, and number four, question number four is, who would you be without this story? So this takes a little bit of effort. So you wanna take a deep breath, close your eyes and go, ooh, here's a story. And a story has an agent and an outcome, right? And the agent is your friend, makes you feel something, right? And who would you be without this story? How would you feel without this story? What would, you know, your mental makeup be like? What would your physical make, what, who would you be without this story?
I would just be a cheerful person and a positive person and lovely person.
Cheerful person, positive person. And is that a better place to be than you were in question three?
What was question three?
How does it make you feel? It's not a trick question. It's basically you're saying, yes, this sounds more pleasant. This sounds like something you...
I would be better without that.
Okay, great. You'd be better off. Fantastic. Okay, so that is question number four. Who would you be without this story? So now given a choice between this version, right? You without the story that feels lighter, feels happier, feels more elevated versus the one in question three, which one would you take? You would probably take which one? Three or four? Again, not the question.
I didn't understand the question, sorry.
The question is, which one do you choose? Three or four? Would you rather feel down or would you rather feel happier and elevated?
Oh, of course I would like to be more like a more pleasant, more
fantastic,
more satisfied.
Okay, so number four, the question was, who would you be without this story? And in that question is the seed of another question. The question that's implied is, are you willing to let go of the story? Because the only thing between you feeling good and you feeling not so great is the story. So the question is, are you willing to let go of the story? And by going through this process, you're already loosening the hold of that story. And I don't expect anyone to totally fix everything in their lives on the first iteration, but notice how this shifts things. Now, if you guys want the bonus question is really powerful. And the first time I had it, I'm like, ooh, that's intense, okay? And the bonus question is to flip it around. To flip it around such that you're saying your friend is not bringing you down, you're bringing her down. So close your eyes and imagine what it would feel like if that were true. If, oh my God, I'm the one bringing her down, right? In certain situations, this isn't really true. For example, let's say your partner is beating you up. Well, guess what? That person is beating you up. You're not beating that person up. But still, this exercise is worthwhile because it allows you to go through the process of empathy and feeling what it's like on the other end, right? And noticing, oh, wow, every time something like this is happening, it's a two-way street. There are two people involved. And so we are complicit in the conditions of our lives that we say we do not want. So as you go through that fifth question to flip it around and see what it would be like if you were the one bringing her down, what does that do for you, Dushitsa?
I'm very introvert person. I wouldn't share my problems with somebody else. I'm just not like that person to bother people with my stuff.
Right. But I'm saying if you were to just try it on, if you were just to just experiment and think, oh wow, I'm bringing her down. Just notice how that feels. And the whole thing is an exercise and the whole thing is a story. And then we realize that the experience that we're having with our partners, with our friends, they're also stories. And guess who makes the stories? We make the stories. We make the stories. We have agency. So the same way you can make the stories, you can change the stories, you can also let the stories go. So how does that, so now going back all the way to the beginning, so how does that feel, this issue with your friend? So does it feel more manageable, less manageable, more challenging or less challenging?
It is manageable, definitely manageable, but it takes work.
Yes, okay, good. So usually I ask a before and after, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how tough is it, and then afterwards, and usually people have a pretty dramatic shift, and sometimes they dissolve the problem entirely because they're willing to let go of the story. So thank you so much, Dushitsa, for participating. And that's a great example.
Welcome.
And that's a great example. I'm going to put you back on mute again here. So those are the four questions. The four questions are very simple. Is it true? Do you know it's true? And how does that make you feel? And who would you be without that? So let's go through another example. I'm going to go through my own personal example, and that has to do with a certain person who may be the cause of a lot of the turmoil that you're feeling now. So his name is Donald Trump, okay? And it doesn't take a lot for me to get me really worked up about him, because all I have to do is like watch 30 seconds of him in a press conference, and the onslaught of lies and incompetence and lack of empathy and just plain mean-spiritedness just really gets me. And I'm like, wow, this person should not be in a position of such leadership and also the ability to, you know, speak to large groups of people on command. This is not good. And it causes me visceral pain. So let's go through this together. Question one says, is it true? Does Donald Trump cause me visceral pain? Well, actually, he's not in the room anytime I see him. And it's just TV screen or his sound. So he can't really poke me in the ribs. So yeah, I feel something unpleasant, but not sure if it's him causing the pain. I can't say it's directly him. So number two is, are you absolutely sure it's true? Actually, no, not really. It's not. I mean, he can't cause me pain, especially if I can just turn the TV off and suddenly I'm not in pain, then hello, it's not him. It's something else maybe, okay? So question number three is, how does this story make you feel? Well, frankly, it makes me feel like shit. If I give him the power to cause me visceral pain and disgust and discomfort and all these things, then I'm walking around wounded and unhappy, and that's just not very pleasant, right? And look, I could be right about my judgment of his character, but it doesn't necessarily make me feel all that great when I do that, especially when I focus on it. And question four is, who would I be without this story? And it doesn't take me a lot of thought to realize, oh, wow, if I wasn't dwelling on this story, if I didn't have the story that somebody on a TV screen says something and I feel like crap, then I would feel a lot less like crap. And I'd feel a lot better. I'd feel lighter. I'd feel more able. I'd be in a better position to help the world with whatever gifts I have, whatever I can do, instead of being, okay, here's this person, brings me down, and I have no choice but to be brought down. Okay, so for me, that's a pretty powerful example, because a lot of people experience the same kinds of emotions when it comes to this fella who shows up on TV a lot. And through this procedure, this four-step procedure, you go, one, is it true? Two, do you know? Are you absolutely sure it's true? Three, how does that make you feel? Four, who would you be without this story? That, and cycling through that over and over again. You can do it with the same story like several times, and every time it diminishes it. And this is super powerful. So I've seen Byron Katie do this in large groups with people who have experienced horrible trauma, have incontrovertible beefs with somebody. It's like, you know, this guy tried to kill me, right? I mean, that's pretty serious, right? And you'd be surprised, you'd be amazed how much it diminishes the charge that people have around these things. This is not about necessarily justifying the wrongdoing of other people. It's not about necessarily letting them off the hook, but it is about letting yourself off the hook. You don't need to feel the negative, challenging emotions all the time in order for you to keep going. You can enable yourself to be a much more powerful and liberated version of you. So that's the four-step procedure called the work. Questions before we go on. Hello, people on Facebook Live. Thank you for joining us. So we started with a 15-minute meditation and then a quick run through of Byron Katie's The Work. So The Work is very powerful. She has books about it. But if you just go on her website, she has basically the four questions there. It's pretty simple. And then the fifth bonus question. Bonus question is the fifth one. It's just the flipping it around. It's the reversal. So you imagine that you are doing whatever your grievance is to that person, which can seem really weird, especially when you feel really justified in your grievance. So that's really powerful. And grievances, yes, they can be justified. Terrible things have happened to people, and there are terrible people who perpetrate them. However, there's one Buddhist saying which I really like, which is, there are no justified resentments. Because the resentment only hits you. There's nobody else, right? So resentment is the pain that you generate for yourself. Resentment, hate, all these things. So the Buddha say that hate is the poison that you drink to kill your enemy. Poisons don't work that way, buddy. So you want to let go of the resentments and allow yourself to be free. Okay, good. These are great questions here. And I'm going to move on to the next thing that I've got for you, which is embodied cognition. It's one of my favorite things, and it's so quick. So let me see if I can find the secret ingredient for this little exercise here. Oh yes, I think I have it. The magic ingredient, the secret ingredient, it is this right here. You see this? This is a pen. Now, it need not necessarily be this pen, which is my favorite kind of pen. The Papermate, where is this? Yes, Papermate InkJoy 550 RT 0.7 millimeters, the smoothest pen on the planet. What we need to do here is very simple, is to use this pen to put it between our teeth. So what we're gonna do is we're going to keep this pen between our teeth, and you want to keep it in your teeth such that your lips don't touch it. And we're going to hold it for exactly 1 minute. I'm going to put a timer here. Timer says 1 minute on 00. Okay, like this, and go. Oh, sorry. Before we go, I want to do a self-assessment. Happy scale. Where are you on the happy scale right now? So give it to yourself. Number 1 through 10. Right now, about like a 8, because I'm happy to see you guys and work with you. And then we're going to do in post. Okay, so give yourself a number and go. Like this. What you're going to do is you're going to keep the hand between your teeth. Okay, just like that. And what you're doing, if you do it right and you don't let your lips touch it, is that you are massively contracting your zygomaticus major muscle. And if you can't understand what I'm saying, it's because I have a pen in my teeth. Jesus. So zygomaticus major muscle is your smiling muscle. So you got this thing that your body does. It's called embodied cognition. So if you activate the smiling muscles, your body's going to go, oh, we're smiling. Must mean that we're happy. Holy cow. I guess I should become happy. And it starts producing happy juices in your head. Who knew? So, hold on right there. Exaggerate. And for demonstration purposes, I'm only going for a minute. But also, I want you to see how incredibly powerful it is. Because in 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, that's it. Ah, okay. Give yourself a second self-assessment. Where are you on the happy scale now? And I can safely say I went from 8 to about 9. Woohoo! I'm also saying goofy stuff, so that makes it better. But 10, holy cow. Okay, who did not go up? If you did not go up, raise your hand. Because you know what? Everybody I've ever tried this with has gone up. Everybody improves their happy score. This is the dumbest, simplest thing you can do. But you know what? You just have to do it. If you don't do it, it doesn't work. So there are studies that show that doing something like this works as well as antidepressants or therapy. So you do this 3 times a day, ba-bam, and suddenly you have changed your mood. So when you do it for just a little bit, it'll shift the way you feel, but not necessarily your overall mood. But if you keep on doing it, you're giving little jolts of happiness to your brain, and then your brain's like, oh, maybe this is the way I should feel. And look, I teach this stuff. I'm like the happiness engineer, and I may spend an entire day not smiling because I'm by myself, right? So you do this, it reminds your brain where to go. It reminds you where the feeling is. Okay, so that's a pretty simple one, and I'm going to add another technique to it, and that is just moving. Moving is good. So movement, I don't know what you do to move, what kind of stuff you do, but I encourage you to move all the time. Movement and mood. I mean, they both start with mood. There has to be a relationship, right? So the two things are related. And the more you move, the better your mood. Aerobic exercise, of course, is awesome. It's the only thing that's been proven to make you smarter. And there's nothing in the universe that elevates your mood more quickly and more reliably than exercise. So get exercising, do it. That is the thing that works. So besides that, I want to encourage you to move in a certain way. I want you to move to music, because for some strange reason, we've been designed evolutionarily to just have this amazing relationship to sound and beats and music. And if you do it to music and in synchrony with other people, it's even better. So if you're working out and you can do it like together with a friend, if you do it to a video, somehow your brain lights up even more. If you dance and there's other people dancing with you, say in some, you know, online dance party, that's even better. But just dancing is hugely beneficial. And that brings me to the idea of creating your happy playlist. So it used to be not so long ago, maybe just like 120 years ago, that if you wanted music, you needed to hire an orchestra, or you need to learn how to play music yourself, or you just sang in the shower and terrorized the entire neighborhood. So right now we have these alternatives. You can just take a little gizmo that fits in your pocket that contains basically the entire Western can of music and then some more stuff, okay? So you got Spotify, it holds basically the entire catalog of Western music on it. You got Apple Music. You got your own CDs. It's incredible, right? I can hire the Berlin Philharmonic for free to play inside my head anytime I want. Now that is an incredible privilege. Not just that, but the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Kool and the Gang, whoever I want, boom, I can do that. The thing is, do you remember to do that? Because I know, and you know, that you have your favorite songs, but if you don't play them, you don't get the benefit. This is like having a really nice Peloton bike that you never get on. It's pretty, but you're not using it. So me, personal trainer, I'm here to make sure you use it. So what I want you to do right now is to write down a list of your 10 most uplifting songs. So I will start with my list of uplifting songs. So I made a list today, and I now have a 3-hour playlist on Spotify, which I'll be more than happy to share with you. So we've got Happy, obviously, by Pharrell Williams. We've got Can't Stop the Feeling by Justin Timberlake. And by the way, both of those are soundtracks to cartoons, because cartoons also make me happy. And what else we got? We got Heya. Heya by, you guys know who it's by. Everybody knows who Heya is by. Andre 3000 and the other guy. So who else? We've got Wanna Be a Star in Something by Michael Jackson. And Rio by Duran Duran. And in case you ever want to buy me a present out of the blue, get me live Duran Duran tickets. That's my favorite band. So that's 5 songs that make me happy. I pulled them on. I was like, woohoo! And it's very, very difficult for me to not dance to these songs because they're great. So do your list right now. Create that list. And it takes literally just minutes, just a couple of minutes to compile that list on a utility like Spotify, which can be free, but for just $8 a month, you can get all the stuff. And then you have it. So you play that, and your mood gets elevated just like that. So pretty simple fix and scientifically proven and completely under your control. So let's please share here. I will turn it on, unmute everybody, and share with me some of your favorite songs. What is your favorite mood lifting song? What do you
Up
got?
Up on the Roof.
What is it?
Up on the Roof.
Okay. And by Dr. And the name of the playlist on Spotify is called The Mood Lifter by Dr. Ali B. What do you got, people? Favorite songs? And I'm also, you know, stealing from you guys, your ideas. So hit me here with something. What do you got?
Up on the Roof.
Up on the Roof. Okay, you got that. Thank you. What else we got? We got a question here. Would a champagne cork work just as well as a pen? No, for this
I'm you need a pen.
For this, you need a pen. You need a pen like this. Champagne cork is too wide. It doesn't allow you to do it. So this is what you want, and you want to not touch your lips with the pen. So it's a little facial workout. Okay, good. Fantastic. Come on, stingy people. Hit me here with your songs. Certainly you have some songs here. Hillary, what do you got? All right, good. So, in any case.
You Look Good by Lady Antebellum.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Lady Antebellum. Love it. Good stuff. Fantastic. All right. So, great. And what else we got? We got another 7 minutes or so to go before I turn it over to questions. So what else would I like to share with you? So let me start on some. Great, great, great. Okay. Oh, yeah. And for classical music, two of my go-to pieces are Beethoven Symphony No. 6, the Pastoral Symphony, and Mendelssohn Symphony No. 4. The Mendelssohn 4 is just like this relentless just stream of uplift. It's just super powerful. It just starts out and it does not stop. It is good stuff. Okay, good. So what do you got here so far? Embodied cognition. So when you smile and you use the pen trick, your body's like, oh, I must be doing something that makes me feel happy. Therefore, I must be happy. Therefore, let's be happy. Wee! And playlist that will get the happy juices moving very, very quickly. and dance. Dancing is good. Synchronized with other people is even better. Okay, now the other thing is, what works really well to lift your mood is the thing I'm doing right now. It's to coach other people. So there's pretty much nothing that works as well as cheering somebody else up for cheering you up. So this immediately puts you in a kind of meta position to your own, whatever you're experiencing, right? Because like, oh, I'm just going to go and help somebody else. And somehow it just takes the sting out of things. So this is a super powerful way to be selfishly altruistic, right? So this is about enlightened selfishness. You're doing this to make other people feel good, and it also makes you feel good. So there's really no good reason not to do this. So call up a friend, and right now I encourage you to write down three people, names of three people that you can call to check up on, and maybe you tell them a joke, maybe you just share a story, maybe you share your playlist with it, maybe you found a funny meme. I've got this one friend, and he's sending me like 10 different funny things every day. And every time I hear this phone buzzing, I'm like, ooh, little happy shot, here it comes. So you can be that person. You can be the person who is sending happy shots to all of your friends. And there is no shortage of that stuff online. The quality of cat videos in recent years has been fantastic. I recently sent a little cat video with the goalkeeper cat, who basically caught every soccer ball coming its way. Pretty impressive cat. Check it out. If you can't tell, cat guy. So what else we got here? Can I post my list on Facebook as well? Absolutely. I'm not quite sure how, because it's on my phone, but I'll see if I can try that. So it's called the Mood Lifter. Mood Lifter by Dr. Ali. Ba-boom, there you go. Finally, the final little tip for today I have for changing your mood and controlling your own consciousness is light exposure is huge. So there's a whole chunk of people who live at very high latitudes. So they live in Nordic countries, and they just have this huge epidemic of seasonal acquired depression. It's real, and it even spells sad. Think about it, seasonal acquired depression. And it brings these countries collectively down because they're so high in latitude that in the wintertime, they get very little sun exposure, maybe 4 hours, 5 hours a day, and you know, 16 to 19 hours of darkness. So that can get pretty rough on the psyche. So what you want to do is, now that you're in the Western Hemisphere and we're moving into later spring and then summer, make sure you get your sun exposure, right? Look out the window, go for a walk, but make sure you get some light in, because light is a powerful mood elevator. So super effective and super free, and also kills germs. Hey, can't argue with that. And finally, I want you to really take stock of who you are, and take stock of, you know, how it is that you got here. Because it's easy to be in your room all by yourself and curl up in a fetal ball and go, woe is me, I am so little, I am so nothing. But here's a story. I want to tell you a story about nucleosynthesis. Huh? What's that? Well, I'll tell you what that is. So the idea is that the universe is mostly made of actually nothing. It's made of dark matter. But let's focus on the 5% of the universe that's matter. And that part is mostly made of helium and hydrogen. And that part's mostly made of helium. So it's made of hydrogen. And helium is, hydrogen is basically one little proton around a nucleus of one electron around a nucleus of one proton. It's basically just one thing, right? The simplest element you can possibly have. Now, under conditions of extremely high temperature and pressure, like say in the sun, what happens is you get this thing called fusion, right? And that's how the sun has all of its warmth and all of its light, and it shines on us, because you got the smooshing up of one hydrogen to another, and it becomes two. It becomes two, two is helium. So helium, in the process of becoming helium from hydrogen and hydrogen, you lose a little bit of matter, and through the whole E equals mc squared, that matter turns into energy, and that becomes all the sunlight that comes on us and sustains all life and makes living on Earth possible, right? But we're not made of helium and hydrogen. We're made of carbon. We're made of iron that's in the middle of our hemoglobin. We're made of sodium, goes in our blood. I mean, there's a lot of elements in our body. Where did those come from, right? And those come from conditions of even higher temperature and pressure that only exist in one place in the universe, and that is a supernova. A supernova is when a star, after hundreds of millions of years, if not billions of years of being a star and burning all its fuel, it collapses in on itself, and the gravity inside becomes so intense that it just totally smooshes all these nuclei of small elements together. And so the one becomes two, the two becomes four, four becomes eight, 16. So oxygen, two oxygen, that's 16, right? Eight. And then you get nitrogen and all the stuff that are the elements that make the things that we know and love in life, like trees and cats and food, right? That only happens inside the heart of a dying star that then explodes and spreads all its dust in the universe. The only way that you can have carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, sodium, and all these different elements inside your body, the only way you can have a body is to have come from the explosion of a supernova. So when I say you are a superstar, that is not a metaphor. That is not a joke. You actually are a superstar. You are the heart of an exploding supernova gathered into that becomes dust and then gathers together again on planet Earth. And four billion years later, presto, change-o, here you are. And you are like that star looking back on itself. You are that star become conscious of itself. You are the universe made observant and conscious. So think about that. Next time you want to feel small, you want to feel insignificant, think about that and your role in the universe as the witness to all of it. That is what your consciousness does. Anytime you feel down, anytime you want to go down certain paths you've gone before, maybe that's a story that you can remind yourself of such that you become elevated and you realize that you are in a position to tell that story to other people. You can become that epicenter of happiness, of joy, of personal empowerment, and that expansive consciousness. And that really is the purpose of these happiness engineering talks that we have here. The idea is that we're all nodes in these gigantic network of interconnected people. And we are definitely interconnected. If somebody can cough in Wuhan and make the world sick, guess what? We're pretty connected. So you can also use that connection in a way to heal. And that's what we're learning here. So go forth and heal. And if you want to learn more about this and to incorporate this happiness engineering into your life, I'm starting up this course, this three-month course called Happiness Engineering. And it's going to be about all these techniques that I'm teaching you and how to incorporate them into your life such that they become part of you. They're not just techniques that you use for fun. They're actually who you are. And when you integrate them into your life, then it's just like being fit. Suddenly, when you have a bunch of stairs in front of you, it's not a daunting obstacle. You just go up those stairs because you're fit and strong, right? If there's something you need to lift, you just bend your knees and you lift it. In the same way, when you become a happiness engineer of your own life, you become resilient, you become strong. When stuff happens, it doesn't bug you as much. When stuff happens, you're able to take care of yourself and other people. So it's not just for you, it's for everybody. When you become the best version, the most powerful and happy and thriving version of you. So to apply, you go to happinessengineering.com. to become part of the first cohort of happiness engineers. And if you feel called to this, I encourage you to go to happinessengineering.com and apply. And I'll be talking about this stuff, of course, tomorrow and also Friday, and giving you more techniques and how to incorporate this into your life. But the idea is to make this not just a one-off personal training session. The point is to become fit, fit for life, mentally fit, physically fit, sleep fit, relationship fit, and most of all, emotionally fit. So more resilience to you, more happiness to you. that's what I've got for today. Join me on the Happiness Engineering course if you wish. Apply, and I'm open for questions. So question. Waving to all the people who are on the Facebook Live right now. Hello. Thank you for joining us. What questions do you have? Does the chat window work? Yes, no, maybe. Okay, good. So what is bugging you? Do you have life figured out completely? Because if you do, please tell me how it works. But if you do not, and there are questions you have that I could potentially solve for you, I am happy to be your personal vanilla ice. You got a problem, I'll solve it. So bring it. What do you got? That's a reference that people under 30 will simply not get, and that's okay. Okay, and this is great. So Nancy shares with us that she wants to let us know that she's not on video because she's drinking wine and eating potato chips. All right, hallelujah to that. If you can't drink wine by yourself, who can you drink wine with, really? You got to practice this stuff. Okay, good. Fantastic. What else we got? More questions? If you don't have questions, that's fine too. Love Elton John. Yes, you should add that to your music list. Fantastic. All right. Go Dushitsa. All right, good. Questions. What do you got? And if you don't have questions, I'm going to close this session for you. I'm so glad we solved all the world's problems. This is great. Nobody has any questions. When the questions do arise, please feel free to email me. I'm at Dr. Ali at happinessengineering.com or just Ali at happinessengineering.com. And happy to be a resource for you.